Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Hi, and welcome to North Florida neighborhood. I'm Colby. A North Florida neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors, and specifically the neighbors that we get to know right now are all a part of the home team. And it's convenient because the month of September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So today we get the privilege of talking with Dr. Howard, aka Dr. K, and he is with the Nemours Children's Specialty Care. Dr. K, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thanks so much for having me. We really appreciate it.
So, Dr. K, kind of give me the rundown on who the Nemours is in general.
Well, Nemours Pediatric Specialty Care is the outpatient clinic where we see cancer patients and blood disorder patients. And then for patients who need to be hospitalized for their treatments, they go to the Wolfson Children's Hospital. So they are part of the home team, as well as the University of Florida Proton Center, as the places where our children get their care. And then we have really four other partners that are part of the home team. Tom Coughlin J Fund and the Child Cancer Fund, who do a lot of great community and family support, provide all kinds of financial assistance, help our patients pay the bills and get to and from clinic and hospital and all that kind of stuff. And then we also have the Ronald McDonald House, where our patients can stay, particularly when they're coming from a far distance away. And we have Dreams Come True, which is a wonderful organization that provides all kinds of fun things for families who are going through diagnosis of a chronic and potentially terminal illness, and really providing them some happy times and good memories, and hopefully that they'll be able to look back on for a long time. So that is the home team.
So a couple of these organizations I've heard of, along with Nemours, but what does it mean to be a part of the home team?
I think really what we want the people of Jacksonville to know is, number one, we're working very hard to eradicate pediatric cancer. Over the last 40 years, cancer survival rates have dramatically improved from probably less than 10% in the 60s. And now if you take all newly diagnosed patients across the country, about 80 to 85% of patients can be expected to be cured. So we've made a huge difference. We still need to get to 100. And the treatments are still very toxic and difficult for the kids. But the real reason we've made that progress is through use of clinical trials and experienced cancer care. And so if you do need us, and if we have about 100 new cancer diagnoses each year in the Jacksonville area, that you actually don't need to go somewhere else. You can get all the care that you need here. We have so much experience in the oncology care, the radiation care, surgical care, and all the supportive services. And so really the home team is to make sure, as we talk about pediatric cancer awareness, that there is great cancer care for our children here in Jacksonville.
I love the process. Really, what the word is, home team. Everything is in one little area, and we're all here. If you need help financially, there's someone that can help you with that. If you need help with making dreams come true, there's an organization for that. And now when it comes to research and chemotherapy, that's what you guys are for, right?
Correct. And in reality, well, you know, you always tend to talk to the physicians. Really, the key critical folks who are caring for our patients are our nurses, our child life specialists, our social workers, and then all the other people who do all the everyday things in the hospital to make it a safe place, a clean place, to provide the meals. So it really is an entire enterprise that's directed for pediatric care. You have to remember that many places can call themselves a children's hospital or a children's location, but they may be simply a floor in a bigger building. You know, here we are one of the top 20 or 30 programs, and certainly we are the largest program in the state of Florida and the care that we provide and the experience that we have, so that we have expertise in all areas as well. So I think it is important when parents come in, when we have those initial conversations, that we try to gain their trust and explain to them that we wish they weren't here, but this is a good place to be. And we will be able to give their children everything they need.
And during such an inconvenient time, you guys are conveniently located right here in our neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, the facilities are terrific at Nemours here. We're actually planning for a new cancer clinic that's going to be completed by the end of 2022. The lobby at Nemours was just renovated to make it really nice for our families. There's a whole new addition going on at Wolfson to provide all kinds of new updated services over there. And the Florida, the Pediatric Proton Institute, or the Proton Therapy Institute, excuse me, is the oldest proton therapy institute in the country, if not the world. And we see patients from all over the place. So not only do we care for local and regional patients, but, you know, I've seen patients from England, Australia, China, Denmark, Norway, Peru, Spain, Portugal, Canada. So we really have international experience and expertise.
It sounds like y'all have a lot going on. And like you said before, there's a lot of working and moving parts. But Dr. K, what is your role with Nemours?
I am the director of the Division of Pediatric Hematology Oncology. And so technically I have about 45 or 50 folks under me within my division at Nemours. And we want to make sure that we're giving the best care to our patients. And then we have another 30 or 40 nurses and staff who are over in the Wolfson Children's Hospital. And so we coordinate the care that our cancer patients receive here. And then obviously as part of the home team, I'm one of the leaders in trying to make sure that we are able to communicate this message to the Jacksonville community.
So you're a big deal, is what you're saying.
I'm not a big deal at all. The big deal are our patients and their families, and they are the big deal. They are the heroes. And in reality, part of the home team is, and part of what I was trying to convey is that, you know, I can be the best doctor in the world, but if all those other little things that have to happen along the way are not done correctly, it just so much increases the stress for families. So, you know, having a wonderful nurse who can get the IV on the first time, having a pediatric anesthesiologist, which is very important in putting the patients to sleep as safely as possible, having the person who delivers the meals, you know, be pediatric friendly, and then having, you know, social workers and child life specialists who can work to minimize the stress for the patients and help, you know, coordinate school leaves and financial things. I mean, it's all part of it. And so it's really important that we have a complete team. And of course, you know, go Jags. We use the football analogy as part of our home team, and as well as all the other great sports teams in the city. And so, right, really, you're only as strong as your weakest link. And so it takes a full team to do everything. And so, right, if you had the best quarterback, they didn't have an offensive line blocking, it wouldn't work. So here we need to make sure that we have just wonderful care from top to bottom. And so, I like to think I'm just one part of a wonderful team.
One part of a working body.
Correct.
Yeah, like you said, just going back to it's teamwork. Everybody's role is just as important as the next person's.
Yeah, and I think for our, as we talk about September and pediatric cancer awareness, you know, when you think about your favorite sports team, and you think about, you know, you want that team to win and what's success, and you know. You know, how many games do you win a year, or do you make the playoffs or whatever? I mean, for us, with all due respect to the analogy, right, every patient we have to win. We have to hit 100%, you know, and that's a lot of responsibility, but it means we also have to all have all the things in place, and that's why it's wonderful to have the community support and also the financial support. We're dependent upon our donors to support us, because some of the things that we do are not paid for by traditional insurance or other things. And so it's really important that we have our philanthropists in the community of Jacksonville helping us, all the parts of the home team, do what we need to do. It's really important.
So Dr. K, you put me in a perfect position to kind of segue this question in. And again, I have the privilege of speaking with Dr. Howard, aka Dr. K. He's with Nemours Children's Specialty Care and is also tied up with the home team. Dr. K, you mentioned there's a lot of moving parts and everybody contributes, but you still need contribution from outside sources. So how can your community better support Nemours?
Well, you know, in general, we say that pediatric cancer gets about 4% of the national budget for cancer research.
No way.
And that's just not enough. And in fact, I told you at the start that, you know, we've improved survival rates from 10% to 85%. So if you're talking to a business person, if you had a return on investment that went from 10% to 85%, you would say that that's doing great. Unfortunately, the government and pharmaceutical companies don't necessarily make the investment in pediatric because still overall, there's only about 15,000 cases in the country a year, and again, about 100 cases here. And so the way I think about it, too, though, is, you know, I take care of a lot of little children. Right now, I'm taking care of several babies who are less than 6 months of age, and I expect them to be cured. Well, they're going to be living until hopefully they're 70 or 80 or 90. And so part of how I think about pediatric cancer is that you're really adding on so much additional years of life. Mm-hmm. Obviously, all cancer is terrible, and in part, much of what happens in adult cancer is modeled after what we do in children. But really, we have to think about that, you know, 4% is not enough, but we know that clinical trials and clinical research works, and so we really appreciate all the support that we get from the Jacksonville community, but we encourage people to continue to think about when they're having to figure out where to make their donations, that they consider doing that to the Moores and Wolfson and other members of the home team.
And what would be the easiest way to do that? If someone's heartstrings are kind of pulled, saying, I want to donate to this, or I want to help serve, is there a website?
Yes, you can certainly go to the website, and there's a place where you can donate. You can go to the Moores website, and that's easy to do as well. You can also call our foundation. You know, there are many different charitable groups that are also involved with us who want to have an event, do a fundraiser in their community. Many sometimes focus around an individual patient where they're helping them pay the bills, but other members of the, you know, community, again, we're building a new clinic, so people who might be interested in actually, you know, donating a room or things of that nature as well. So you can go to the Moores website and you can go to the donation part or go to call the foundation part, and we have a wonderful team that does a great job of fundraising.
Really cool opportunities to be on the home team's team right alongside Moores and you, Dr. K.
Yeah, and again, I think it's also important that we remember that we appreciate whether or not it's, you know, $5 or $50 or $5,000. It's all very, very important, and it all makes huge important contributions. So in our clinic space, and in all the spaces, actually, both in the hospital as well as at the Proton Institute, we have music therapy, we have art therapy, things to do distraction. You know, oftentimes I will go see a patient in clinic and I'll be finished, and so I will, in a sense, send them home, and then, you know, a half hour later, I might go out in the waiting room and they still might be there. Mm-hmm. And they're there because we have a music therapist who's, you know, playing the guitar, or we have art therapists who are doing things, and they're doing projects. Of course, now, unfortunately, during the time of COVID, those things have been channeled down, but we will get back to that part. And those are really unique things. You know, people often ask, how is it that I do my job? And it's very stressful, and it's very serious. It's also very rewarding. But the kind of the way you do it is to see both a patient and a family go through the journey, and how appropriately afraid they are, both parents and children, at the beginning, and then how you get to a point where they come in and they're smiling and they feel safe. And the clinic is and the hospital are their second homes, unfortunately, and that's terrible to have to say for someone who wants to be going through a child, you know, just like we want our own children to do. But I think we get most of our fuel and energy from watching our families and our children do the things they do. They are just amazing. They're the heroes, and they inspire us every day.
It sounds like overall the benefit outweighs the difficult days and the tiresome hours and just the frustration work brings. And then it also sounds like you have the ability to just be a comforter and stability and peace for these patients and these families.
Yeah, and I think the good thing, again, saying that we cure about 85% of new diagnoses across the country. There are close to 500,000 pediatric cancer survivors across the country. We have a wonderful survivorship program. Dr. Bechtel runs that for us. We have over 400 pediatric cancer survivors. And so, unfortunately, once you get to the end of your on-therapy or on-treatment care, your cancer journey doesn't end. We know that about 2/3 of children will have some type of chronic medical problem as a result of their therapy, and we're certainly working to try and diminish those. So survivorship programs are specialized programs that are intended to do follow-up and look for those things. How are your teeth doing? How are your eyes doing? How is your heart working? How are you doing in school? How is your growth? How is your fertility? All those things are really important. And so our survivorship program really provides all that care in one place. We actually have, as part of that group, cardiologists, endocrinologists, psychologists, who are all involved, as well as our social workers, making sure that, you know, all of our patients are living life to the fullest that they can, knowing that unfortunately many of our patients will still come through with scars that will last a lifetime, and so we have to make sure that they can meet their fullest potential that they're able to do.
Well, Dr. Kate, sounds like a lot of those things, like whether it be your teeth, how are you doing in school, and fertility, that's something, I mean, I know I take for granted. But this is going to be a difficult question to ask, but what are some signs that your child may have cancer and we may need to have them in NMORS? What's something parents can keep an eye out for?
Yeah, so truthfully, there's probably not a whole lot.
Okay.
You know, cancer diagnoses are so rare, so I try to reassure parents and tell them, you know, that whatever problem that you have, it's likely not to be cancer. I think what's important, particularly when you talk about having your primary family medicine or pediatric care, is that if symptoms don't go away, so if you have fevers that last 4 months, if you have bone pain that lasts for, you know, over a month, if you have chronic backaches or headaches or other things that are not really normal that you need to try and find an explanation to. So again, symptoms that are less than a month long, that's very rare to make a diagnosis of cancer. And so it's really something that doesn't kind of go away. Sometimes children who are tired, sleeping more, paler. And again, going to your doctor, having a physical exam, feel the belly, feel for lymph nodes, and sometimes doing a blood count are kind of what needs to be done. But again, most of the time, you know, it's infection or some other common thing. Again, it's really not usually time to worry until symptoms have been going on for, you know, several months.
Okay, and it just goes back to stay in touch and be consistent with your primary care doctor. And Dr. K, you mentioned COVID a little bit, but how has COVID impacted your patients?
Well, I think there's two parts. One part is that we were very concerned, based upon adult data, about how our children would do. Unfortunately, across the country, and as the division director here, I meet regularly with the division directors from all the other cancer hospitals around the country. And we know that actually most cancer patients are doing fine even if they get COVID. And we certainly have put in many things in place to try and minimize that exposure. But for some reason, it's different in children. We screen a little bit differently, certainly before we do anything where the patients are put to sleep and at other points in time. We are very fortunate, actually, here at NMORS and Wolfson, that we have had only a couple of patients who've had COVID, and they've really truly been asymptomatic. We have, fortunately, we've had no deaths, and we have not had any cancer patients in the intensive care unit. And so that's really terrific. And so it's really important for everyone to do all the important things. And I would say that NMORS and Wolfson were very aggressive early on at making everyone mask, really doing important checks of people with, you know, for fevers, been screening before they come in the building. We actually shut down a lot of the follow-up patients and non-essential patients and did telehealth. We went from zero telehealth visits a week to somewhere close to 80. And so we were still able to maintain that care, but for folks who didn't need to be in the building and have hands-on, and so that's really helped us do what we need to do. So it is a national standard that if you do have cancer as a child, you should continue to get your therapy because the risk is much greater from the cancer than it is from COVID. On the other hand, it's also a national trend that new cancer diagnoses are down somewhere around 20 to 25%. So again, that means if we were expected to see 100 new cases here in Jacksonville, right now we're only on target to see 80. And we know that COVID doesn't cure cancer. So unfortunately, parents are afraid to come to the hospital, a little bit understandably so. And so that's why we try to say that we have really wonderful procedures in place at Nemours and Wilson and at the Proton Center to make it safe. And we do know of other places, not here, but where people have waited too long and their children have been so sick that their outcome has been bad. So we're trying to make sure that, you know, if there's something that doesn't make sense, if there's testing that needs to be done, that it really happens. And so we'll see, because we know those patients are out there. And so there is a great concern that people will come in sicker and with more advanced disease. But I think we know that our patients can get safe care, even safe cancer care during this time of COVID, and that we need to, again, wash our hands, wear a mask, social distance, isolate as necessary, and all those things work.
Yeah, just going back to these basic guidelines that have been drilled into us for the past 5 or 6 months.
Well, in a sense, when you talk about cancer patients, pediatric cancer patients have been doing this for 20 and 30 years, right? On one hand, though, actually, very importantly, we do encourage our cancer patients normally to go to school. We know that when they're remain socialized, and continue with their friends, that they have a much better outlook. Obviously, at this point in time, school attendance is still on pause for our patients. But pediatric cancer patients are well used to doing all the things, right? They travel with their hand sanitizer and make sure they stay away from people who are sick and do all those types of things. So, yes, many people can learn the lesson of how pediatric cancer patients have to live their lives daily.
That was helpful, you kind of bringing it into perspective for us, because for me, who isn't caught up in that realm at all, I didn't know what it's like. Is it on total lockdown? And you're saying, I mean, it's a bump in the road, but it's not a total inconvenience for these patients.
Again, when we're in normal times, we want our patients to do normal stuff. So, mm-hmm. You know, pre-COVID, we encourage them to go to school, to hang out with their friends, to go to the mall, but just do things in a way that's smart. Stay away from people who you know are sick. Do get good hand washing. And now during this time of COVID, you know, again, we've encouraged everyone to socially distance and isolate. And I think what we've seen based upon the numbers that I described to you is that it really, really works. And we even know that our numbers in the hospital are down because our patients are at home and they're not going out and getting sick from other folks. So I think it's pretty clear, and I'm actually very optimistic that if we as a community really kind of follow the CDC guidelines and what the mayor's office is asking us to do by really being smart and washing our hands and wearing masks. I mean, masks is really the big deal. You wear a mask to protect, I wear a mask to protect you, please wear a mask to protect me. And by doing that, we really can get beyond this sooner rather than later.
Right. Well, Dr. K, just in closing, again, tell me if we want to learn more about, first of all, Nemours, or if we want to somehow support y'all, how can we do that?
Yeah, so you can go to the Nemours website, nemours.org, and you can look for the donate button on that page. You can also call the Nemours Foundation, and they will be happy to help you. And we certainly appreciate all our community supporters. Yeah, I'm from Chicago originally, and I've also worked in Atlanta and Nashville, and I have to say that the Jacksonville community has been truly and quite sincerely my favorite. And the best community support that we have. So I've been here for 3 years, and this is where I intend to finish my career. And we're really just grateful to be part of this wonderful community and all the things that are provided for our patients. You know, it is a kind of the cliche saying, but it does take a village to do this. It does take a community. Unfortunately, we have a wonderful Jacksonville community.
Well, thank you for making Jacksonville your neighborhood and for being such a great neighbor here for us, Dr. K.
Oh, well, again, thanks for bringing some attention to this. September, go gold. We're very excited for the home team. There are many partners, and we expect to see buildings lit up and people out there wearing gold and making donations. So we appreciate you bringing attention to our patients and their important fight.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, @jacksonville.radio. You can't seem to get away from the bad news. So, here's some good news for a change.
To celebrate her 103rd birthday, a grandma decided to get her first ever tattoo. And out of all the tattoos she could have chosen, she picked a frog. When asked why, her reason was pretty simple. She said, "Because I like frogs." She even left the tattoo shop in style, waving on the back of a Harley Davidson. And when she was asked the key to living a long life, all she said was, "Hard work." Now that's good news.
These are unique times, and Jacksonville.radio is standing with you. We provide local, family-friendly radio across multiple formats and frequencies with a diverse and loyal audience. Let us help get your message and your marketing into our communities. Call Jax.radio today so we can discuss how we can help your business. Let us help you get the right message in front of the right audience at the right time. Call 904-74-RIGHT. That's 904-74-7448.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. BABBEL.com.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
There's no better feeling than grilling out, and there's no better place than Ace to get the best grill for you and your family. We have the hottest grills from top brands like Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber. And since our stores are locally owned and we're committed to helping our neighbors, we'll also assemble and deliver your grill for free. Around the block, what you need in stock with people who know their grills. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through September 7th on grills and accessories $3.99 and up. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but thought it would be too difficult? Then try Babbel. Babbel starts by teaching you words and phrases that gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations. So in 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking a new language in a few weeks. Babbel is built around real life. It teaches you practical conversations that you will actually use. Babbel, language for life. Now try Babbel for free. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a language today. That's BABBEL.com.
Welcome to Jacksonville.radio. We're a family of radio stations serving the Jacksonville and South Georgia areas. As a service to our community, we highlight organizations and events that help make this area the best place in the country to live. Thank you for listening to our North Florida neighborhood.
Welcome to North Florida Neighborhood. I'm Colby, and North Florida Neighborhood is all about getting to know our neighbors in our community. And this month is really cool because it's actually Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. So we're going to focus just on that and on the organizations that are bringing awareness to that. And today, one of the organizations that we get to chat with is Kelly Coughlin, who's the executive director of the J Fund. Kelly, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Kelly, I've seen your signs kind of, and the Coughlin name is definitely spoken of around the Jacksonville community. So can we kind of backtrack and you just tell me, what is the J Fund to begin with?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So the Tom Coughlin J Fund was started back in 1996 by my dad, who is Coach Tom Coughlin. He had an experience where he was coaching at Boston College in the 90s, and he had a young man who played football for him there, and that guy's name was Jay McGillis. While Jay was a member of the football team there, unfortunately, he was stricken with leukemia, and my parents both had an opportunity to really see on an intimate level how his diagnosis affected, of course, him, but also his whole family. And, you know, they watched how the disease took a toll on Jay's body, but they also saw parents not able to go to work so they could be there for their child. And they saw siblings take a leave from school, from college, so that they could be home and spend time and make sure Jay was getting every bit of care that he needed. And, of course, the financial toll that that played. So a few years later, when my dad, Tom Coughlin, first came to Jacksonville as the initial coach of the Jaguars, he knew that he wanted to do something to help families in that same situation and that he wanted to do it in Jay's name. So he started with the idea of having a small little golf tournament to raise money to help local families with their household expenses. And that was in 1996. And since then, we've had tremendous support from the community and been able to grow in the size and the scope of the work that we're doing with the J Fund to help local Jacksonville area families tackle childhood cancer. We provide financial, emotional, and practical support to any family who has a child with cancer.
Wow. Thank you for that, because I mentioned earlier, I think it was off air, that I worked at a local little coffee shop, and there was, every Tuesday, it was Giving Tuesday, and a percentage of our proceeds went to the J Fund. And I would read the little blurbs on what it was all about, but I never knew the full backstory of the athlete, Jay.
Right, yes. Jay really left a mark on a lot of people that knew him, and it's really awesome to be able to now have helped so many other patients and families, and to do it in Jay's name, sort of as a legacy for him and for his family, the McGillises.
Yeah, and you guys have been around since 96 is kind of when it sparked. You were saying, what kind of growth have you seen in our community since then?
Well, as I mentioned, we started off very small with a small little fundraiser, and then spent the rest of the year sort of dispersing that money out to families who need it. But we've been able to really grow. So over the years to date, the J Fund has provided more than $13 million in financial services to help families. And we believe that we've helped over 5,000 families who are tackling childhood cancer. We started really focusing primarily on household expense relief, because almost always when a child gets diagnosed with cancer, one parent has to basically stop working and become a caregiver. So that often creates, in many families, a decrease in income at the same time that you're seeing expenses go up because of the medical bills that are associated with fighting disease. So, you know, while that continues to be our primary focus, and about 60% of the support that we provide now continues to be paying to keep the lights on and a roof over the head and food on the table for families, we were able to, over the years, expand the emotional side of the services, because we also know that it's really important that these families know that they're not alone in it, and that there's others that are walking the same journey and also want to be there to support them. So we do a variety of things. We provide fun outings and parties, not during COVID times right now, but we've gone virtual with that. But basically opportunities for kids to really have fun together, to feel special for the day, and for families who are, you know, kind of dealing with similar circumstances to be able to connect with one another and support one another. And then beyond that, you know, we've provided child psychology services for pain management, and also for educational testing when patients who have had cancer treatment need to go back to school and need advocacy for, you know, special ed type services. We also do a retreat for moms to sort of give them some self-care themselves. We have a group for adolescent and young adult support. We have a sibling program where we focus on giving the kids who are not sick an opportunity to really, you know, connect together and better understand and deal with the emotions associated with having a sibling who has a life-threatening illness. So many, many services. I could keep going, but I'll stop.
No, Kelly, I mean, I had no idea the level of substance and just the impact that you guys have on the community. I want to backtrack and kind of unravel everything that you said. First of all, y'all have helped over 5,000 families and have donated $13 million. That's a lot.
Yeah.
So where do these funds come from?
Well, we hold a few big fundraising events during the year. In March, typically every year, we have a big wine tasting gala. I'm not sure what that's going to look like yet for 2021. And then we have our Celebrity Golf Classic event in May at TPC Sawgrass. But throughout the year, you know, we have wonderful contributors and donors who love our work and provide support in that way. We have community partners that do things like you mentioned, the Southern Grounds Coffee Shop that gave a percentage of proceeds every Tuesday for quite some time. Other folks out in the community that find creative ways to, you know, sort of help us raise awareness and also raise dollars that go a long way.
Has COVID, so two of the events you mentioned were kind of peak of when COVID was happening. So what did you guys do come March and May?
So this year, in 2020, actually our wine tasting gala happened the week before everything kind of shut down in March. So we got it in, we squeaked it by right before the pandemic crisis happened. So we were real lucky there. And then for our Celebrity Golf Classic, unfortunately, we were unable to gather at TPC Sawgrass this year. But we did a virtual gala in May and had a lot of support and figured out how to kind of pivot and still get our message out there and raise some dollars. We do have an event coming up in the fall in New York, New Jersey, because we have a branch of our services that occur there in the New York, New Jersey area. And we're also going virtual with that in October. But we're hoping back, you know, in 2021, we can start getting back to normal and figuring out a way to safely get together and connect with one another and be able to share our mission.
And for what it is, you guys have really been able to be creative and swing by.
Yeah, we have. You know, I mentioned our patient events and how typically we have parties and gatherings and things like that. Well, we haven't been able to do that in person this year, but we've been able to do some really cool, I'm really proud of our staff because we've come up with creative ways to still connect with people and the patients and have them connect with one another. We have had cooking classes, we've had a magician, we've had scavenger hunts, we've had celebrities make Zoom calls to patients and families, we had a talent contest, so we're finding a lot of creative and fun ways to still connect virtually, but of course looking forward to the day that we can be face-to-face as well.
Right, and more involved and intimate. Well, again, I have the privilege of chatting with Kelly Coughlin, the executive director for the J Fund. And Kelly, this whole month is all about childhood cancer awareness, and the J Fund is a part of the home team. Now, can you kind of unravel of what the home team is and then what it's like to be a part of that organization?
Sure. We're really, really proud to be part of a greater community of pediatric oncology support services in the Jacksonville area. We have amazing health care here, terrific pediatric oncology program at Nemours Children's Specialty Care and Wolfson's Children's Hospital. And we're happy to be part of the team that kind of supports those patients and families. And the key really that we're trying to get across as sharing the message of the home team is that in Northeast Florida, we have a tremendous program and that it allows 95% of the kids in this area who have a childhood cancer diagnosis to stay right here at home and receive world-class care and support. So what happens for those patients then is that, you know, they can remain in their own home with some stability. They can have visitors, family and friends, and, you know, still hopefully go to school when they can go to school and not separate the family as can happen when you know, a child has to go away to a different city for services. So in honor of Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, which is September, we're just sharing the message of the terrific services that we have here in Jacksonville and that the Tom Coughlin J Fund is really proud to be part of the home team.
It's so cool that especially in these children's lives when everything is changing, at least there's a home team where their neighborhood doesn't have to change and they don't have to go out of the city or even out of the state to get all this care and treatment because there's a lump group of it right here for them.
Exactly. We have, there's really, in most cases, like I said, 95% of the kids who have a cancer diagnosis can receive the best care in the world right here in Jacksonville, whether it's through Nemours or Wolfson or UF Health. And then all the support services that go along with that, like the Tom Coughlin J Fund, Child Cancer Fund, Dreams Come True, Ronald McDonald House. We just have a great group, and so they're getting amazing medical care, but they're also getting support, and they can do it right here while they stay, you know, at their home where they're most comfortable and most secure and supported.
Yeah, I think it just shows how supportive our neighborhood is. And we mentioned it earlier that Southern Grounds, a little coffee shop on the beach, helps donate proceeds a couple times a month. Are there any other local organizations in the community that you're partnered with?
You know, we've had tremendous support in the community. And you know, there's probably too many to name that have helped us over the years. We have some really creative, cool things that are going on right now. The whole month of September, Mulligan's Pub in Ponte Vedra is doing a tap takeover on every Monday. So a dollar of every tap beer goes to the Tom Coughlin J Fund directly. Today, we actually have the whole staff at TPC Sawgrass and the Ponte Vedra Inn wearing Go Gold pins in honor of Tom Coughlin J Fund Day and supporting childhood cancer awareness. We have so many restaurants who have supported our wine tasting gala by coming out and providing food, like best of the best, Taco Lou, Ruth Chris, Salt Life, Harry's, you name it. You know, they've been a part of our wine tasting event, which has helped make it a success. But you know, the Jacksonville community is just so supportive of the work that we're doing. And it's heartwarming to see not only small businesses, but individuals, families roll up their sleeves and really try to help these patients and families who are going through a tremendous crisis that most of us couldn't even imagine.
I didn't realize that y'all had so much backing from the community.
Yeah, you know, we really have been very supported. You know, I think when you go out and talk to people about childhood cancer, it's unthinkable for people to imagine that, you know, one day you could be living your life normally, just plugging along, and then you get news that is forever changing it. Mm-hmm. And it's devastating. And so, you know, in general, good people want to help. And so we're super grateful to the many, many supporters that we've had over the years that have allowed us to, you know, provide the financial, emotional, and practical support that we do. Our, you know, our goal for the Tom Coughlin J Fund is to be there for parents so that in turn they could be there for their children. And the community has allowed us to do that.
How I love just that mission statement as a whole. And if other companies, their mission statement kind of aligns with the J Fund, how can they pair up and stand side by side with y'all?
Oh, gosh. There's many ways. We'd, you know, love for people to reach out to us. Certainly, you can give at our website, which is tcjayfund.org. But while you're there, you can also apply for volunteer opportunities or shoot us a message and let us know that you want to get engaged. We have right now, of course, it's a little bit tricky with COVID, so we don't have as many large gathering sort of opportunities to bring groups together. But there are creative ways. We're doing a fun fundraiser, sort of a fitness challenge through Kilter Rewards, which is an app that we're using all month of September. We are always looking for community engagement from, you know, corporate or just individual groups to help with our holiday support, from, you know, gifts for kids to deliveries of meals, things like that. But we would love an opportunity to talk with different groups and see what the best fit is to, you know, get more people engaged in our work and also be able to do more to help the families who really need it now more than ever.
Yeah, and it sounds like there's a lot of different options for a lot of different organizations. And we've focused on how much you guys give, and now I kind of want to switch viewpoints. What about families who are in need? How can they kind of reap the benefits of what you're doing?
So we work directly with the amazing social workers who work at Nemours and Wolfson and UF Health. And whenever a child is diagnosed with cancer, they're assigned a social worker. And those social workers are sort of the conduits in which the J Fund operates. So we are able to provide our services to patients upon their initial diagnosis, where they're, you know, sort of given an overwhelming amount of information about the medical side, but also information about what support services are out there and whether they need it immediately or they need it down the road, they can access that. When they need financial help, the social workers, you know, sort of connect us through a patient portal that they use to apply for emergency household assistance with their household expenses if they're in crisis because of their child's cancer. And that's also where they get the information about the events and gatherings and special programs that the J Fund puts on.
I love how it just goes back to all the organizations in the community and the different children's hospitals working together truly as one home team.
It is amazing that we all sort of complement each other and help each other. You know, none of us could excel or do what we do on our own. Of course, the physicians and nurses and healthcare workers are out there, you know, saving these kids' lives. But the support services that are provided by the other organizations also make it more tolerable and easier for these families as they walk a tremendously difficult journey. So it's great to be part of a team, that's for sure.
Yeah, there's so many different moving parts that everything is able to function so well and so smoothly, not everything on one person's lap, in a way.
Right, absolutely. And that's what's great about this month, September, really being Childhood Cancer Awareness Month, is the opportunity to draw attention to these patients and their families and what they're going through and how difficult it is, but also the world-class service that's available for these patients as well.
And like you mentioned, it is September is Childhood Cancer Awareness Month. How is the J Fund bringing awareness, and how are you guys participating in that?
Well, even more special for the J Fund, today is September 5th, which is Tom Coughlin J Fund Day in Jacksonville.
Oh,
it's the third annual. Yeah. So the mayor back in 2018 declared September 5th Tom Coughlin J Fund Day in Jacksonville. And we continue to celebrate that with opportunities to raise awareness, to talk about the work of the J Fund, and to support families. So like I mentioned today, the employees at TPC Sawgrass and the Ponte Vedra Inn are all wearing J Fund pins. We have groups out sort of recognizing some of our volunteers that make our work happen. And we're in general just trying to, over social media, get the word out. We can't gather together this year. But part of really our goal for all of the month of September is, like I said, to make people aware of the difficult situation that childhood cancer presents to a family, to recognize that these families in our community need support, and whether you support them through the J Fund or you just go over and drop off a meal or your church does something to let them know that you're on their team and that you're there for them by, you know, offering to care for the other children while mom and dad are very busy with the medical treatment and things like that. It's all important. So, you know, really in general, it's about just spreading the word and bringing awareness and letting these families know that they are not in this alone and that the Jacksonville community is there to help.
I think so often the mindset out of sight, out of mind. Personally, this isn't an issue I've ever had to deal with, nor have I known anybody who's really had to walk alongside this and deal with it. So just the fact that these numbers are so real and the fact that y'all have helped over 5,000 families just brings light of how real this is in our community.
Yeah, I mean, there's nearly 100 children that are diagnosed every year in Jacksonville with cancer. And at any one time, there's about 300 on active treatment. So I mean, these kids and their families are, their lives are upside down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a parent, I can't imagine what it feels like. And I'm blessed that I don't have to deal with it. But I feel very, very proud to be able to hopefully just lighten their burdens a little bit and you know, walk alongside of them and help in some way.
Well, Kelly, we mentioned what business owners and other organizations in the community can do to kind of lift the J Fund up. But what about people like me, who is not a business owner but wants to be involved and wants to help serve? What are opportunities where we can do that with the J Fund?
Well, we would love, you know, as many people who would like to support our efforts, whether it's by giving their time in volunteer ways, giving their talents, by what you're doing right now, which is, you know, helping us spread the word. But there's always people that have special talents that are looking. We have photographers that donate their services, or chefs that donate, you know, those services, people that, you know, help us stuff envelopes and put on events and things like that. And then, of course, your dollars. I mean, your dollars go a long way. And the J Fund really prides itself in being very good stewards of that. We really try to keep our costs extremely low, get as many things donated as we can so that we can give as much as possible turned over to the patients and their families. And we know that with COVID going on right now, I mean, we've seen an increase in the need for financial support so far this year go up by 24%. So we know that these families that were already dealing with childhood cancer as a crisis are now dealing with furloughs and job loss and things like that on top of it. So so the need is great, and we would appreciate support from anybody who's willing to help out.
And Kelly, what's the best way to get plugged in with the J Fund?
I would recommend visiting our website, which is tcjayfund.org, and it has information there about giving, whether it's you're as a volunteer supporting one of our many events that are going on, or simply making a gift of your financial support.
Well, Kelly, thank you so much for being a part of the home team and allowing us to be a part of that now also, and just for being such an incredible neighbor in our neighborhood.
Thank you. Thanks for this opportunity. It's been really nice chatting with you, and I appreciate your listeners out there.
Thank you for listening to Our North Florida Neighborhood. Listen again next week. And if you have an event or organization you'd like highlighted, please contact Colby King at Colby, C-O-L-B-I, at jacksonville.radio.